My son told you in the book of Matthew that in the last days there would be an increase in the number of false prophets, and that these prophets would be speaking things that ultimately would lead people astray. I am telling you, as your Father and as your God, this is happening more than you realize. The voices of the false prophets are increasing. Too many of my children, including some of you hearing this now, have not been sensitive enough to discern the difference between what is and is not prophecy from me. Hear me now. Hear what I have to say to you. From this day forward, you are more accountable to differentiate between the real and the false when you hear someone speak for me. When people stand up and begin to declare, "Thus saith the Lord," or "Yea, I speak unto you," or however it is that they begin to deliver what they call a prophetic word, I call you to account this day. Judge every word you hear by the word I have given you. Do not be a fool and simply accept something as being from me because somebody said it was from me, or because it sounded like it was from me. Some of you hearing this have been led astray. Some of you hearing this have accepted what some have said as being truly and genuinely a prophetic word from me. Well, some of what you've heard has been a prophetic word from the emotions of the individual. Just because it sounds good does not mean it came from me. The more that you fail to discern the difference between what is and is not from me, is the more you will begin to exalt those who say things that sound good and sound like they're from me, but really came from their emotions. And the more that you exalt those kinds of people, is the more you are setting yourself up for deception. You must learn to spiritually discern the difference between when I speak and when I am not speaking. There are those of you in this room, you have heard what sounds to be something that I have spoken, and I did not speak it. I would remind you that anyone can stand up and use Scripture as a reference and speak something that sounds like I am in the room delivering this message. There is such a thing as exhortation. And all too often, emotional exhortation is delivered as though it is a prophetic word from me. I want you to know I am not the source of everything you hear. You absolutely must learn to discern between when I am and when I am not speaking. Guard your heart. For my son warned that in the last days, these false prophets will be so effective that even members of what you consider to be the very elect in my church will be deceived if they can be deceived. And I want you to know many of them have already been deceived. Pay attention to this. Do not dismiss it lightly. Walk in love toward people, but I do not demand that you accept as being from me every single quote prophetic word unquote you think you're hearing. Learn spiritual sensitivity. Develop it. There are some of you hearing this right now who are not in this room, guard yourself and guard your church. For there are wolves in sheep's clothing who would want to come to you and deliver prophetic words that sound so good, but they're not from me. Guard your heart. Walk in love, but guard your heart. Do not let the enemy get a foothold with good sounding words. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. So again, I tell you today, prepare yourself. Develop the spiritual sensitivity you need to protect yourself from this increase of false prophets that is taking place even now. You are in the last days. I am sending my son soon to get you. We hear a lot of teaching about healing, sometimes healing seminars. We refer to some preachers as having a healing ministry. We hear a lot of teaching about prosperity. And there are some preachers, and I'm talking in the body of Christ here, and there are a lot of preachers that are referred to as prosperity preachers. And I understand that because they are associated with those things. But did you know that there is a subject, other than God's love and mercy and righteousness, things like that, but did you know that there is a subject in the Bible that is mentioned more than healing or prosperity? It's praise and worship. And what's interesting is that I don't hear of anybody referred to as a praise and worship preacher. Think about it. We hear a lot about the healing, we hear a lot about the prosperity, but we don't hear too much about praise and worship. Now, here we do in this church, but I'm talking about on the grand scale of things. You just really don't hear as much about praise and worship as you do about healing and prosperity. And that's rather ironic because if we would focus more on the praise and worship than on the prosperity and the healing, there's a really good chance we'd see more of the prosperity and the healing. And so if you just take... Now, some people might say, well, you know, Brother Martin, are you sure about that? Well, I don't have, you know... Here's how many verses mention praise and worship, and here are how many verses... Okay, I don't have anything like that up here. Just start reading in your Bible. You're going to see references to praise and worship in Genesis, and it goes all the way through the Bible into Revelation. In fact, you see more about praise and worship in heaven. When you read the book of Revelation, you see more about praise and worship in heaven than any other single subject. And it talks about that up in heaven, there are, you know, groups, and I forget, you know, there are angels up there, and there are elders, and all these other, you know, groups of people up there, but there are some, all they do is praise the Lord. That's it. To use a time frame that we talk about, 24 hours a day, all they do is praise. That's it. 24 hours a day. That is all they do. Now we think, man, you know, I mean, I understand you're up in heaven and you're right there with Jesus and everything, you know, but all the time? I mean, don't you ever get a break? I mean, don't you ever get kind of, you know, like bored? Apparently not. Because that's what they do. That's all they do. That's it. That's all they do. Is praise and worship around the throne. And this whole concept of praise and worship, quite frankly, is one of the most undervalued aspects of our salvation. And we just don't seem to get it right. Now again, I'm talking about in general in the body of Christ. Look, go ahead and turn over to John chapter 4. When it comes to praise and worship, I can say this. There is so much in the Bible about praise and worship. Now, we have 52 weeks in a year. So that represents 52 Sundays. I could teach on praise and worship every Sunday morning for a whole year and not one time repeat a verse I had previously used. That's how much is in there. And I know it. I know there is that much in there. And if I were going to do that 52 weeks, I would break it down. I would give you so many word definitions. I would have you understanding. Well, no, I would teach the understanding, whether you receive it or not, I don't know. But there would be so much in-depth about praise and worship, and I know I could do it. I know I could, because that's how much is in there. You know, the Bible talks about David. You know, God, people refer to David, you know, the apple of God's eye, and so on and so forth, and all these wonderful things that we say about David. Well, why do you think he was like that? It's because David was a praiser. David was a prophet, too. Did you know that? Read the Psalms. David was a prophet. But David was a praiser. He was a praiser. Where did he learn this praise? Listen, I'll tell you where he learned it. He learned it, a lot of it, on his own. You know, he was rejected by his family. Just read about it. Samuel shows up. He's supposed to be anointing the next king of Israel. And, you know, here's Jesse. And all of Jesse's sons are there, except one. And they don't even mention David. They don't even talk to him. And Samuel, he's getting ready to anoint, you know, each son. And God says, nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that. They go down the whole line. And Samuel says, okay, there's something wrong here, because I know I heard God. And he said to come here and anoint the next king of Israel. And he looks at Jesse and he says, now again, I'm paraphrasing. He says, you know, Jesse, I ask you to get all your sons together and something's not right. Is there another son? And Jesse says, well, yeah, there's the runt. I mean, you know, he's out there playing around with the sheep and plucking his harp and singing songs. Samuel says, well, why don't you get him? All right. So they go and they get him, they bring him in. And as soon as he walks up, God says, he's the one. And Samuel doesn't even hesitate. Takes the oil, anoints David, speaks over him, and man, that's it. And the rest of the family, who knows what was going on in their mind, but there was some jealousy, because later on, some of his brothers, you know, well, what do you want? And David says, what'd I do? Hey, is it my fault that God chose me over you? No, he didn't say that. No, I just threw that in. That's the Revised Martin version. Well, see, I'll just tell you this. There's a whole lot I don't fully understand about why God chooses some people over others. I don't get it. Not all of it, not totally. But I will say this. See, God knows the beginning from the end. And he knew that David was going to be a praiser. And he knew that David, now I'll say it like this, that David was going to praise into the presence of God in a way that few people ever had. And that David, if anybody got close to being born again, it was David. He just couldn't, because there was no Savior. You know how thin the skin is on an onion? Okay, that's how thin that veil was between David and salvation, that sin nature. But he praised up to that point, and I can just imagine God up in heaven. Man, do I ever wish my son Jesus had already come down there and done his work, because boy, you're ready. David, you are ready. He was a praiser. And he wrote some things in Psalms about praise and worship that the church today, in many cases, refuses to accept, refuses to utilize, refuses to put to work, refuses to use. Do you realize that praise is both a noun and a verb? It's not only the identifier of a thing we do, it's also the thing we do. Praise is a key. Praise is a foundation. Here in John chapter 4, look at this. In verse 23, Jesus says, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth,
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And, you know, people have debated for so long and argued about, you know, what does this mean? You know, the hour has come, and the worship the Father in spirit and in truth, blah, blah, blah. Well, Jesus said the hour has come, and now is when the true worshipers, look at this, the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers, meaning up until now, there had never been true worshipers as God defines it. That means David, as much as he did, he was not, by God's definition, a true worshiper. Well, what was it that qualified somebody to be a true worshiper? Somebody who had a spirit out of which that worship could come. That spirit is our born-again nature. And Jesus was saying, for generations, for hundreds of years, for centuries, for thousands of years, God has been waiting for this hour, or for this generation. What generation? The generation wherein Jesus would complete his work on earth and people could be born again and finally be able to worship God out of a spirit that was fully compatible with God himself. And Jesus said these are the kind of people that God's looking for, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him, look at this, must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's talking about out of who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look, I'm going to show you some verses here. Turn back to Isaiah 43, and you're going to see, in essence, prophecies about this, or a prophecy about this. And there's more than just what we're going to look at this moment. But in Isaiah 43, verse 24, look, 21, God says, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." That word formed means to create, to bring into existence, to establish with a purpose. God says, this people, okay, what people is he talking about? He's talking about the people who would come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he says, these people have I formed. The Bible tells us that when we accept Jesus Christ, we have a new man, and that new man has been created in God's righteousness and true holiness. And he says, this people have I formed, created out of my righteousness and my true holiness for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This is a decree from God. He's saying, they shall show forth my praise. These are the true worshipers. Every one of us in this room tonight, every person listening to this, every single person watching this, if you are born again, you are that person that God has formed for himself, and he says, we shall show forth his praise. You see this? This is a decree. We shall show forth his praise. If you aren't doing that, do you realize you are not fulfilling a God-ordained mandate for who you are? He says, they shall show forth my praise. They shall show forth. They shall show forth. He didn't simply say, they shall praise me. He said, they shall show forth my praise. They shall show forth this praise. In other words, out of who they are in me, they are going to release it out of their spirit. They are going to release this praise. Look over in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is a prophecy of salvation. The work that Jesus did when he came down to earth, this is a prophecy of what he was going to do and what people would have out of, as a result of what he had done for them. And in verse 11, it says, "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, And as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. In other words, the moment that we get born again, we've been born again with the very life and the nature of God. We've been born again with His righteousness, with His holiness, His nature, and His character. But right along with that, when we're born again, He didn't just sow His righteousness and His holiness and His character and all of that into us, but He also sowed into us the seed of praise and worship. Look at this. He's going to cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That means it's in there. The moment that we got born again, the capacity to praise and worship in spirit and truth was formed in us. That is a part of our born-again nature, our born-again spirit. It is in every single believer. There is no exception. And a lot of people talk about, well, you know, all this showing forth stuff. I just don't know about that because, you know what, I'm not very good at singing. I can't sing on pitch at all. Listen, singing on pitch. Now listen to this. This is going to help some people. Listen closely. All of you people that you think you're lousy singers, listen closely. Singing on pitch is a work of the flesh. Let that sink in. Come on. Singing on pitch is a work of the flesh. It is not a work of your spirit. Singing on pitch is a work of the flesh. Praise and worship comes from a born-again spirit. And what's interesting is that when God formed that born-again spirit on the inside of you, He put in it, He sowed in it praise and worship. And when we become so concerned and focused on, you know, our singing talent or lack thereof, and the ability to sing on pitch and so forth, what we're doing is we're worshiping out of the flesh and we are diminishing what is supposed to be coming out of our heart. Singing on pitch is the flesh. You can't help it if you can't sing on pitch. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. You can't hear it on the inside. You're all over the place. You don't know a 4/4 beat from a 3/4 beat. I know a Chevy from a Ford. I mean, no. You don't get it. But you know what? That doesn't hinder your praise and your worship. It doesn't interfere with it. The professionalism demonstrated in so many churches is so misleading. It's not wrong to have good. It's not wrong to have on pitch. It's not wrong to have the best singers and the best instrumentalists. It's not wrong to have that. But when professionalism exceeds praise, you've got a real problem in your church. Every single Christian, every single one of you, you have the ability to praise out of your spirit, and it has nothing to do with staying on pitch. Absolutely nothing to do with staying on pitch. It has everything to do with who you are in Jesus Christ. Praise, now listen to this. We're seeing in Scripture that praise and worship is absolutely built and established in the very nature of every single Christian. What that means is praise and worship is an essential and critical foundation for the strength and success of every single church. Because if it's a part of your nature, that means God wants it. Well, of course He does. Jesus said so. He's looking for people who are going to do this for Him. This is why every single church should have as one of its strong emphasis, praise and worship. Not just a bunch of singing, not just a bunch of solos, praise and worship. Open up. Praise the Lord. Open up. Worship the Lord. Cut loose. It doesn't matter who hears you. If people get offended, listen, if people get all offended because you can't sing on pitch, they're not praising. You know why? Because when you're praising, you're going to be focusing on the Lord. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it can be distracting. When people are singing, I mean, they're all over the place, all right? But you know what? You just have to focus on the Lord. Because listen to me. Those people that are singing like that, and it's coming from their heart, and you're worried about what they're doing, do you realize they're touching the throne of God more than you? How is that possible? He's got to be up there with his hands over his ears. Oh, my God. No. You don't understand. When it comes out of your spirit, it's perfect pitch. It's right on.
It's the flesh that messes it up. It's not your spirit. You got it right when you open your heart. Jesus, I don't care what I sound like to everybody else. To you, it's beautiful. And you praise Him and you worship Him. You let it go. And this has to be a foundation. Listen, I'm telling you. If you can get a church to praise, if you can get a church to worship, it's going to take care of a whole lot of stuff. I'll tell you a story. There was a church, I know the pastor of the church where this happened. There was a church, and the pastor there, he was strong on worship, strong on praise, very strong on it. And so he went in, and he'd been pastoring this church, and man, things were going really well. And then one day, one of the elders, I don't mean a person who is older, I mean a person who was in that appointed position of elder in the church. One of those elders walked up to him and said, I don't have to listen to you. You're just an elder like me. Well, the pastor was shocked. It just, you know, sometimes things happen and it catches you off guard. You're totally, you know, unprepared, as they say. And this one, I mean, bam, it hit him right between the eyes. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. The arrogance and the pride and the rebellion that was coming out of this man. And so, you know, he contacted this man. You know, he's thinking about this. And so he contacts, he says, look, let's meet and let's talk about these things, okay? Let's just talk about some stuff. And you know, you let me know what's going on. I mean, I want to hear what you have to say. And so the pastor showed up for the meeting and he waited and he waited and he waited. And guess who didn't show up? That elder didn't show up. Well, Sunday came by. And the pastor walks into church, and when he walked into the sanctuary, he looked and he was shocked. The organ was gone. The drums were gone. And he's standing there thinking, what is going on? Did somebody break into the church and steal our stuff? Well, somebody let him know, Pastor, the organ's gone because it belonged to the organist. And the organist left with the elder. And the drums are gone because they belong to the drummer. And he left with the organist and the elder. And Pastor, not only that, but you need to know that the Sunday school teachers have also left. And the pastor says, listen, you know, it's kind of like that thing with Job. One thing after another. And he's standing there listening to this. Nobody told him they were leaving. It's Sunday morning. And nobody told him they were leaving. It's Sunday morning. I mean, the piano was still up there, but the organ's gone. The drums are gone. The organ player's gone. The drummer's gone. The teachers are gone. And the pastor's standing there. Let me ask you, if you were the pastor, would you feel like hop, skipping, and jumping? No, you wouldn't. And so He's bummed out, to say the least. I mean, this is just one of those things he was totally unprepared for, and it hit him really, really hard. So he's standing there, and it's getting time for the church service. This visitor walks in, this man, and the pastor was, you know, back toward the rear of the sanctuary, and this visitor walks in, and says, hey, how you doing? The pastor said, well, you know, hi, you know, welcome to our church. And the visitor looked at him and said, Pastor, you look kind of down. Now, the pastor, he's reached his limit. And he just looks at the guy and he says, you know what? I am really down. I mean, I am really down. Now listen, when you're the pastor of the church, the one thing you don't want to do to a first-time visitor is tell him how depressed you are. Hey, I'm glad you're here, but let me tell you, man, I'm about ready to quit. I can't take this. And so this visitor, this man, looks at him and he says, well, Pastor, what happened? And so, see, normally, I know this pastor. He would never do this. Never. But this was one of those, you know, how much, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And so he stands there and he just starts telling this guy, because, well, you know, then the elder said, and then I walk in this morning and organ and organist, drums, drummer, teachers, and I mean, he just explains the whole thing to him. And now, this church was part of a spirit-filled denomination. And so this man looked at him and he said, well, Pastor, look, you know, I'm a part of this denomination.
and I have a degree in music. If you'd like, I'll help you out today. Now, this pastor was such of integrity to where he would never, ever, ever let anybody who's just walked in the church do anything. But remember, he's down in the boondocks, all right? And so he said, okay, fine, you know, man, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Well, this guy walks up to the piano and he starts playing and he starts praising and worshiping. And his pastor said, it was unbelievable. The presence of God began to fill this place. And it grew and it intensified. And the people that were there, they began praising and they began worshiping. And it wasn't long to where it felt like the glory cloud of God was in that church service. And he said, man, it just, the people began praising and worshiping. It went on and on. He said, heaven broke out in that service. And he said, you know what? That guy ended up staying at our church. He joined and stayed with us. And I forget how long, how many years it was. And he said, but the day came when that man left our church and went into full-time ministry, going from church to church to church, ministering on praise and worship. Now, I want you to think about this. God knew ahead of time this was going to happen. God knew that those people were going to rise up against that pastor and do him wrong. And not only him, but the rest of the people in the church. They not only trashed on the pastor, they trashed on everybody else in that church. And God knew that was going to happen. And the person that he sent in to help was not a preacher with a powerful God still loves you message. Was not a healing evangelist. No, the person that he sent in there was somebody who knew how to praise and worship before the throne of Almighty God. Because God knew that that praise and that worship was going to get that congregation past that massive event, an event that could have split that church right down the middle, and praise and worship released the anointing of God that brought peace to that congregation, brought stability to that congregation, brought exactly what that pastor and that church needed at that time. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, emphasizing praise is emphasizing the solution, and it distracts from the problems that could destroy a church. This is why if you can get a congregation to praise God, to worship Him, and I'm not talking simply about the slow worship songs, I'm also talking about the songs that get your toes to tapping and your hands to clapping. I'm talking about the sum total of everything, every aspect of praise and worship. When you get, God is involved in all of that. And when you can get a congregation to buy into this, when you can get a church to accept this and not worry about what they sound like or what they look like, but to realize this is something that God has sown into my spirit and is something that I can release out of me to Him, something He has ordained to come forth out of me, you can get a congregation to begin to move into a place of unity and strength in the Spirit to go forth and be established as a foundation for God to use through revival. Look over in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Look here and again, we don't have time to go through all of these chapters, but beginning in verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Look, he's talking about, this is a prophecy that is speaking about the church. He's talking about us. Arise, shine, for your light has come. What is our light? It's the light of the life of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. It is that born-again experience. It is what God has sown into us by virtue of His life and the fact that we have been created in His righteousness and holiness. And He says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He says, darkness is going to cover the earth. Well, guys, I got news for you right now. Darkness is covering this earth like never before. But He says, even though it's gross darkness, it's going to impact the people. The Lord is going to rise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He's saying, look, rise. You're my children. You're the ones that have the light of my life on the inside. You come before me. You seek me, and this is what's going to happen. And look in verse 18. He says, Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You shall call your gates praise. Now, symbolism. What are gates? Gates are something that open and close, right? Why would you close your gates in the event of an attack by the enemy? He says you're going to call your gates praise. In other words, when stuff starts happening, when it looks like the enemy's trying to attack, you know, when there's an elder who says, I don't have to listen to anything you say, when it looks like there are people rising up, when it looks like Satan is trying to lay his hands on every single person in the church, when it looks like people are coming at you from all different directions, your family, your neighbors, your job, whatever it would be, when it looks like the devil is trying to attack you in a way to take you completely down, what you need to do at that time is begin to raise or close the gates of praise and begin to worship the Lord, because when you do that, those gates are going to close, the gates to your life, and keep him out so that the presence of God can rise up on the inside of you and you're going to live in the victory that Jesus died to give you. But you've got to raise the gates of praise, close the gates of praise, work the gates of praise. He calls them gates for a specific reason. There was a lady who was battling these terrible migraine headaches. The ministry, the pastor didn't tell me the lady's name. But she was battling these horrible headaches, these migraines, and she'd been prayed for, and it wasn't that she didn't believe in healing and didn't believe in prayer, but I mean, this just kept on going. Well, one day, while the pastor was praying for her, and I know this pastor, while he was praying for her, all of a sudden, this just rose up on the inside of him, and he said, listen, if these things try to come back on you, he said, now listen closely to this, because this is going to upset a whole lot of people's theology. He said, don't rebuke the devil. Instead, praise. Praise. Don't rebuke the devil. Praise. She said, okay, I'll do that. The next week, three times during that week, the attack of the migraine headaches came back. Well, instead of doing what she would do, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you and all this other, she just started praising. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. I worship you. I love you, Jesus. I praise your name. The headaches went away, and to my knowledge, they never came back again. Ever. Ever, ever. Now listen to this. Too many Christians spend too much time rebuking a devil when they need to be praising the Lord. Now listen. I told you this is going to mess up some people's theology. When you spend a whole lot of time constantly rebuking a devil, what you're doing is focusing on what you think that devil is doing in your life. But when you begin to praise Jesus, your attention is diverted away from what you think the devil's doing and onto what Jesus has done. When you begin to praise Jesus, you're exercising your authority, you're closing those gates of praise to the enemy. When you begin to praise Him, you are exalting what Jesus did, how you have the victory, by His stripes you were healed, whatever it is you're facing. When you begin to praise Him, you're exalting Him above the problem. And I'm telling you right now, too many Christians are focusing on the problem instead of the deliverer. They're focusing on what they think a devil's trying to do as opposed to what Jesus has already done. Now, I'm not trying to tell you don't you ever rebuke a devil, but what I'm saying is all too often, and you guys have been around long enough, you've heard teachings on this, there's too much emphasis on rebuke the devil, rebuke the devil, rebuke the devil. Well, why not praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord? Why not enter into that place of His presence through your praise and worship? Put the emphasis on the completed work of Jesus Christ instead of the attack of the enemy. Again, I'm not saying you never rebuke a devil. What I'm saying is exalt praise to Jesus over the rebuking of the devil. Look over in Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. We're coming back to Isaiah here in just a moment. We're going to read a verse in Psalm 22, and then we're going to read
a parallel passage in Isaiah chapter 12. In Psalm 22, look at here in verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. O thou art holy, you, O God, are holy. You inhabit the praises of Israel. That word, inhabitest, it comes from the word, and I've shared this before, it comes from the Hebrew word, yashav. And the image that it gives is of God looking. You know, he says he's looking for those who worship him in spirit and truth. And when he finds the people that are doing that, whether it's one person or an entire congregation, the image is that he picks up his throne and he brings it down into the midst of where those people are praising him. And he sets his throne down and sits in it and just revels in that praise and that worship, because it's coming out of the very nature that he has given to them at the moment of their salvation. Now look over and you'll see a parallel passage to this in Isaiah chapter 12. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For, now look here, for great is the Holy One of Israel, where? In the midst of thee. I begin to praise him and I begin to worship him. He shows up. You are holy, O God, who inhabits the praises of your people. For years, I struggled with trying to figure out and understand how is it that some of these churches that are preaching wrong doctrine, yet still the glory of God shows up in their churches. People get healed. People get delivered. You hear these testimonies of these incredible experiences that people have in their church, and then they sit and hear these crazy doctrines delivered. You know, and today it would be things like, well, you don't have to repent if you commit a sin, or you know, you're going to be cursed if you don't tithe, and on it goes. I mean, there's so many different crazy things that are out there. I used to think, God, how in the world, why do you move in churches like that? And the answer is because they're praising me. Because they're praising me. God has said in his word, I'm paraphrasing now, I will inhabit the praises of my people. Do you understand that this is a promise, a word, a guarantee from God? So when people begin to praise him, doesn't matter if it's a congregation of one or a congregation of 50,000. When people begin to praise the Lord, God is mandated to show up because he said he would show up. That means when we begin to praise him and we begin to worship him, it becomes a magnet that draws him into our presence. So here you have these churches. They're praising and they're worshiping God. Tears running down their face. They are sincere. It is coming from their hearts. It's coming from the depths of their spirit. And God shows up and people talk about, oh my goodness, I visited that church and I had such an incredible experience with Almighty God. Let me guess. It took place during the praise and worship because the sermon stunk. The sermon was full of stuff that half of it didn't line up with the Word of God. And so, think about this now. God said, I'll inhabit the praises of my people. Nowhere in the Bible did he say, I will inhabit the sermons of my preachers. It's not in there. He didn't say that. He can't inhabit that which is a lie. And he's not going to participate in a sermon that's leading people away. But when people begin to praise and worship out of their hearts, he's there. He's there. This is why so many people get caught up in those churches. The praise and worship is genuine. The presence of God is genuine because he said he would show up. And so they naturally assume the sermon is as genuine as the praise and worship. See this? That's why this kind of stuff happens. God has promised that he will inhabit our praises. Listen, people have said things like, oh, I just want to have an experience with God. Okay, praise him.
Well, hey, there is no excuse. When God says, I'll inhabit your praises, praise Him. Do it at home. Praise Him. When you come in here, praise Him. Well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Do it. Do it. You need it. You need it more than you realize. Okay, look, if God says, I'll inhabit your praises, and you want to have an encounter with God, doesn't it stand to reason you ought to be praising Him? God, I'm not in the mood, don't feel like it, don't really want to, I'm not even sure why I'm here today, but I'm going to praise You. Because You said You would inhabit our praises, and I need some of that inhabiting right now. Praise Him. Come in and praise Him. Force yourself to do it. Look over in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I have probably taught more on praise and worship in this church than anything else. I'm just guessing. I didn't go back and count my sermons. But it's very possible that's come up more than any other subject. In Psalm 100, look here, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Okay, make a joyful noise. That's to all you people who can't sing on pitch. That's okay. You can make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. Not bellyaching, not fussing, not complaining, not giving dirty looks to somebody else in the church. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. So much for all these people that say, I'd never enter into the presence of God without an offering in my hand. You know what? Throw your money down. Enter into His presence with singing. Enter into His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. He's not talking about making you in your mother's womb. He's talking about He's the one that borned us again. He's the one that created us out of His righteousness and His true holiness. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. Listen, the more you begin to praise the Lord, it helps to open our understanding to the full understanding of His the pure, holy goodness and mercy of Almighty God. See, when you learn to praise and you learn to give yourself over to praise and you just forget about you and you focus on Him and you praise Him, you're going to get to the place where you're not going to be blaming God for anything. You won't be questioning God about anything. How come you didn't? How come, why not? And all this other. No, you're going to understand, I can trust Him because He is holy. He is good. His mercy endures for every day. His mercy endures for every week, every month, every year of my life. It's always there. God is faithful and just unto me. He never does me wrong. I know that because I have praised Him and He has inhabited my praises and I know who He is. He is my God. He made me. He is my Father. And I am one of those sheep in His pasture. You'll come to that understanding like never before, but it comes through praise and worship like nothing else. Look over in Psalm 28. Over in Psalm chapter 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise Him. Praise, when you praise God, and I mean you do it. When you praise God, it takes you to the place of understanding He is your strength and He is your shield. That it's not up to you to try to do everything on your own. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is your strength to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good parent, to be a good child, to be a good employee, to be a good Christian. He is your strength for all of that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is your strength. But if you don't praise Him, you're not going to come to the fullness of that understanding because He's associating the revelation of Him being our strength and shield with praise and worship, with a song that comes forth out of our hearts. That's how critical this is, how vital it is. Look over in Psalm 59. Psalm 59. And begin reading in verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me and behold. In other words, people are doing this stuff to me. I'm under attack. And it's not because I did anything wrong. I'm innocent. But people are coming at me every which way I look. Devils are coming after me. God, I need some help here. Well, look in verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and a refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and God, the God of my mercy. When you begin to praise Him, you begin to understand and get the revelation that, yeah, okay, devils are going to attack. People are going to attack. People are going to be fools. They're going to be jerks. They're going to be idiots toward you. They're going to be everything they shouldn't be toward you. People all around you, family members are going to be like this. But praise will lift you above it. Listen, I'm telling you. All these Christians that fussed and complained about, well, my family, and they just did this, and, you know, my kid did that, my wife did the other, and the husband, and I mean, they just go on and on about all this stuff. You know what they're not doing? They're not praising God, because praise lifts you above the attack. The attack is there, but praise will take you above it. A praiser is not going to complain about what people say. Let me tell you something. When you become a true, genuine praiser out of your heart, you're not going to worry about what people say about you. You're not going to get upset because, well, they've been talking bad about me. Well, they've been lying about me. Oh, what am I going to do? You're not, listen, when you're a praiser, you're going to leave it up to God, and you're not going to seek to be vindicated in the eyes of people. You're not going to do it. Well, how am I going to prove to people I'm not what that is? Live Jesus. Just live as Christ. Look, there's some people, they're going to think bad about you if you raise all their dead family members. They're still going to talk bad about you. You know, thank God He raised everybody, but why did He have to raise my mother-in-law? They're going to speak poorly about you no matter what you do. Get over it. Become a praiser. When you become a praiser, His shield is around you. And yeah, you'll hear the words, but they're not going to be the fiery darts that penetrate your soul and cause you great consternation. A praiser is never going to complain about what people say about them. Hey, listen, let me tell you what. If I let all that stuff get to me, all the things that have been said about me over the years, man, I'd be long gone. I would be long gone.
I ain't putting up with this kind of stuff no more, you know. I'll find a church where everybody loves me.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one. It's not going to happen. Oh, they'll say they love you at first, but then the honeymoon wears off.
How come he don't wear no ties? Pastor's supposed to wear a suit and a tie. Is it good enough for Jesus? Then it's good enough for our pastor.
The attacks are going to come. They're going to happen. Devils don't like you. A lot of people don't like you. And they never will. They're going to attack. It's going to happen. But when you become a praiser, those words are not going to penetrate. You're not going to worry about what they say. Well, I don't want people thinking badly. Nobody wants people thinking badly about them. Come on. Nobody wants folks saying bad things about them. No. Everybody wants to be liked. But it's not going to happen. I mean, Jesus even said, hey, look, when everybody and their brother starts liking you, there's something wrong. You need to be living as me in the world so much you offend a lot of people. You know what that is? That's His life, holiness and purity coming out of you, touching the nerve of their sin and rebellion. And they don't like it. Okay, so get it settled. People are going to talk about you. People are going to do wrong. But when you become a praiser, you lift yourself above all of that storm and you live in the peace of Almighty God. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now look here, we're going to pick this up in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, I want to do that. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. I don't want to be unwise. I want to know, what is the will of the Lord? What is the will of the Lord? Tell me, tell me, tell me. I want to know. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a little insight right here. Be not drunk with wine. Oh, come on. Seriously? I was looking forward to going home after this service. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to who? Speaking to yourselves with what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He's telling you right here, you minister to yourself when you praise and worship Almighty God. You're ministering to yourself. Can you imagine? Have a prayer line. And somebody's up here in the prayer line. Oh, Pastor, please just pray for me. I mean, life stinks, man. Things are going bad. Everything's really rough. I mean, it's just bad, Pastor. It's just bad. Well, okay, normally, what do we do? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just, you know, pray for your peace. And so, that's not wrong. It's not wrong. But boy, could you imagine if a pastor stood back and said, praise. Praise. Lift your hands now. Open your mouth and praise. Well, I came up here for you to pray for me to get some help. No, I'm telling you what you need. Praise. Come on. Right now. Lift your hands. Lift them up. Are you serious? Well, I might as well go back and sit down. All you want me to do is praise the Lord. I need help. You need to minister to yourself. You're asking me to minister to you. You need to minister to you. There are times when you need to minister to yourself, guys. There are times when we need to take matters into our own hands and lift them up to God and begin to praise Him and begin to worship Him and begin to praise Him and begin to worship Him and begin to praise Him and begin to worship Him. We minister to ourselves in this. Look, so many times Christians are going through things, going through problems, calling the helpline, calling the prayer line, calling the pastor. I need help. I need somebody to, oh, just pray for me. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. You know what? If you'd take time to praise and worship the Lord and minister to yourself, the presence of God would fill the place where you are, and there's a good chance you would end up rejoicing in the joy of the Lord, experiencing the power of His peace, and realize you've got the victory. Minister to yourself in this.
Well, you saying you ain't going to pray for us no more?
I didn't say that. I'll tell you what, it'd be a lot fewer people in prayer lines if they'd learn to be praisers. If they'd spend time ministering to themselves. Look, guys, I'm telling you, this is the answer. I'm telling you this is the answer.
Well, how do you know it's the answer?
Well, number one, because God said so in His Word. Seriously, take one book, the book of Psalms, read it. And just see how many times praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship is mentioned. It's in there. It's in there for a reason. It's God's trying to get a message across to us. I don't know how many times that I have gone through stuff. And I have felt, you know, down in the boondocks, as I said earlier. It's like, you know, just stuff, man. Just stuff. It happens. Yeah, even to pastors, it happens. It happens. Well, you know what? At that, who am I going to call? You? I'm going to call you? What if I called you sometime? I just can't take no more. I'm just going through it right now. Oh, please. Pray for me. You'd be thinking, Lord have mercy. I go to this church? Yeah, you know why? Listen, it's because you hold me to a higher standard than you do yourself. Why not hold yourself to the same standard you hold me? You expect me to be walking it out. Well, bless God, I expect you to be walking it out. Okay, let me just say it like this. I don't expect you, I mean, how much longer are you going to be here and still be complaining? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. What I'm trying to do is, like, you know, have you ever had your kids act up and you just want to grab them and shake the sense? And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you tried it once or twice. It didn't work, did it? Okay. What I'm trying to do is help you see this. There comes a point in time, man, you've got to answer for yourself. There comes a point in time, man, you got to stand up on your own two feet. Now, I'm not saying I'll never pray with anybody. Guys, please don't misunderstand this. But what I'm saying is, man, the potential that's in me is the potential that's in you. Because we're born again of the same Spirit. There's no difference. And if you become a praiser, you're going to overcome this stuff permanently. If you become a praiser, I'm telling you right now, praise and worship is a way to receive manifested healing. I'm telling you it is. We've had people in this church that got healed. Their bodies were healed in the middle of praise and worship, and nobody prayed for them. Nobody laid hands on them. Well, figuratively speaking, Jesus laid his hands on them during the praise and worship. That's happened before. That goes against all the formulas. We've got to anoint them with oil. We got to lay hands on them. Got to call the elders of the church. Hey, how about if you just praise your way into your healing? Do you see this? Look, I'm telling you right now, praise is a way to attack the enemy. Praise is a way to lift yourself up above all the junk in life. It's a way to experience God at a deeper level. It is a vital, integral part of our spiritual growth and maturity. See, you can pray in tongues all you want, but you need praise and worship. Listen. Earlier we saw in the Word of God how that when we were born again, praise and worship is a part of what God sowed into us. It is a part of our spiritual DNA. Do you know what is not a part of our spiritual DNA? Tongues. It's not a part of our spiritual DNA. That is a gift given to us by miracle fashion from the Holy Spirit. But that is not a part of our spiritual DNA. If it were, we'd be speaking in tongues the moment we got born again. I mean, the instant we got born again. But we have to make that decision to receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit and that gift of tongues. But we don't have to make a decision to receive praise and worship. It's already in there. Now, every one of you here tonight, every one of you watching, and every one of you listening to this after the fact, you're going to have to examine your own life. Me, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't praise the Lord enough. I just don't. You know, for years, I barely praised at all. Until finally, you know, I'm not going to say that God gave me a swift kick. He really didn't, not in that sense. But I'll say it like this. I got a swift kick out of revelation understanding. And I realized, look, I got to do this. It's in me. I've got to do this. Well, I don't do it as much as I should. And I admit it. But I know this much. I'm not bragging here now, but I know I do a lot more than some people. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I think, my God, I speak in tongues more than you all right? Well, I know that I praise God more than some people, but not more than all. I know that. And what I'm trying to do is encourage you, based on what little bit we've seen in Scripture tonight. Guys, praise and worship is a key for a victorious Christian life. It's a part of who we are. And again, the whole thing about, you know, well, I can't sing well, I'm not on pitch, right? That's the flesh. Your spirit always gets it right. Always. I mean, okay, if you're so worried about that, when you stand before God, just ask Him, God, how in the world could you stand my praise and worship? I mean, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. It was horrible, God. It was horrible. God's going to look at you and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. And you're going to say, but God... During praise and worship, nobody wanted to sit around me. When visitors came in that didn't know better, after 30 seconds, they find somewhere else to sit. It was horrible. God, the cats outside the building would scream and howl. It was terrible. God's going to say, hold on, stop just a second. Hold on. And He's going to pull out His iPod. And He's going to hit play and play back for you praise and worship. And you're going to, like, now see, God, if only I could have sang like that. And God's going to say, it was you. See, this is a recording of you. God, that wasn't me. No, no. You were listening to your flesh. I was listening to your spirit. I recorded the praise coming out of your heart. This was you. God, that sounds like somebody's been trained for years. That was you. That was you. That was you. Guys, every one of you, that's you. It's coming out of you. You think, I can't stand to hear myself sing. You know what? Maybe nobody else can. That's okay. Don't worry about that. Because what comes out of your flesh is not what we hear. No, what comes out of your flesh is what we hear. We don't hear what comes out of your spirit. And what comes out of your spirit, that's what matters. That's what matters. Make yourself a praiser. It's in there. It's a part of who you are in Christ. Praise your way out of all these problems. Praise your way out of the emotions. Praise your way out of the frustrations. And praise your way into the glorious presence of Almighty God. Well, you know what you could do right about now? You don't need me to tell you. You can. Right now, those of you watching, come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. I love you. I glorify your name. Practice this at home. Put it into your life. Do this. You can't lose. You're only going to benefit. And change will take place. And that doesn't have to be at the top of your voice all the time. You can just kind of walk around and barely conversation level. Worship Him during the day. And it doesn't have to be all your waking hours. Just throughout the day, you know? Just do it. Just worship Him. What about praying in tongues? Well, you do that too. You don't supplant one with the other. Right. You incorporate them together. Be praisers, guys. And when you come in here, you don't have to hold back. And again, for some people, one of the best places for you to praise and worship is to come up here. It's not legalism. Not at all. But it's kind of like I'm getting away from the same old here in my pew. I'm getting away from, you know, whoever's around me. I'm just going to come up here, Jesus. It's going to be you and me. Now, I know you can praise where you are. I know that. I know it. But for some people, they need that. I don't know if you want to call it a separation, however you want to term it for you. A time of being up here with Him. So be encouraged by that. Be encouraged by this. Be praisers. And parents, one of the best things you can do is be praisers in front of your children. That's part of training them up in the way that they should go. And again, it doesn't matter if you're on pitch or not. They're your kids. They have to put up with it. But that's part of training them up. Fill your home with the presence of God.